Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Here we go, Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli in studio this week. Thursday Night Football is in the books for the year. We'll have Tony the rest of the way.
Yes.
You're with us.
I'm here.
Indeed, you are. The Jags are here, too. They're going to face the 49ers this Sunday. And a win, and they'll get the AFC South for the first time ever. Or
no, there's no or, JP.
No. Technically, there is
no or. The Titans lose before the Jags kick off. The Jags are AFC South champions before they even tee it up.
But if you're a player, you don't even want to know.
Well, they're going to know. It's on scoreboards and video boards.
But here's the problem.
Malik Jackson said he's going to look. He knows.
Well, they all look. But I go back to, I think it was 97 or 98. It was actually the first division title of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And we found out Sunday afternoon we had a Sunday night game against the Minnesota Vikings. And we actually got like hats. Wow, we won the division. And then we proceeded to go out and get our rear ends handed to us by the 15-1 Minnesota Vikings.
But, you know, I mean, come on.
No, they were great.
They were really good.
And we were playing with our third-string quarterback because Mark was hurt. Jamie Martin was hurt. Fred Taylor was hurt.
Who was our quarterback that game?
Jonathan Quinn.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, we had everybody hurt. Leon Searcy was out. I mean, we had a bunch of guys hurt.
Yeah, so the whole reason that we lost was because we found out we, you know, wanted to be.
No, that's not why, but I'm just saying it was bitter.
Say.
No, but after the game, like.
Didn't have anything to do with Randy Moss.
Chris Carter.
You
John
know,
Randall.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Trying to think of Robert Griffin, the running back.
Robert Griffin. Yeah.
Didn't have anything to do with them.
But the funny thing was after the game, you know, here we are, division champs for the first time in the history of the franchise. And the media's asking questions, and I was like, we just got embarrassed on national television. I don't really care about a division title.
But I got a cool hat now.
I'll enjoy that, like, maybe
next week. No, we didn't get a hat. Do you remember getting a hat?
I don't remember getting a hat. I just remember that it was very disappointing. And, because that was the year you tore your
Was that 98?
Yeah,
that was 98.
Yeah,
I was on IR.
You're on IR.
I didn't get a hat.
You didn't get a hat. And I don't remember if we got hats. I just know this. After the game, it was miserable. And it was actually it was a bad day all the way around because we flew home from Minnesota. And as we came into Jacksonville, it was fogged in. And so they circled for an hour, hoping the fog would lift. It never did. We had to go fly to Orlando, land in Orlando, and bus back up. We got home at 9 a.m. And as we were pulling into Jacksonville, Tom, we thought he'd maybe give us Monday off. He said, I'll see you guys in the stadium at 11.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours.
Or maybe it was noon. It was like two or 3 hours.
Like, yeah.
It's like, what are we doing? We won the first playoff game, though.
So maybe I don't want to know if I'm a player.
It doesn't matter. To Jeff's point, it doesn't matter. But
just
you don't want
play the game.
You really don't want to know,
and you don't want this team to back into it because they've earned everything that they've gotten so far, and the last thing you want to do is back into it. And at the end of the day, will it matter? The first weekend of the playoffs? No, you won't be thinking about it. But just for Sunday. Man, you want to walk off that field beating San Francisco and punching your own ticket as division champs. And then you still have the outside chance, which I think is way outside of getting
I go to that movie Dumb and Dumber. You're saying there's a chance. I
mean,
there's a chance.
Well, there's not a chance. The Steelers are not losing to the Texans. They're not losing to the
what do they got?
The Browns.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I do. But the Bills could beat the
never
Patriots.
Never know.
The Bills could beat the Patriots. They have
Texans
to win.
Texans could beat Pittsburgh.
Want to put a little sideways?
I don't want to bet on it.
Want to bet dinner?
I'm just thinking positive.
I'll bet you dinner, and if
no,
the Texans win, I'll give you five
I'm
dinners.
I'm not going to bet on that.
Five to one.
No.
A week's worth of meals.
With a bet like that, you know what you should do is you say, look, I don't even want a dinner, okay, if – Pittsburgh wins, but I will buy you dinner
now, here's
if the
deal.
Texans win.
If the Steelers win, you take me out to fast food. If the Texans win, I'll take you to whatever
something really nice.
Yeah.
All right, you got a deal. I'll take that's better. That's better.
Funny. It really fast food, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to put the
right,
different.
He just likes to bet, you know. And I hope I win. Because you know what?
No, I'm just. It's not that I like to bet. I just think it's ridiculous to think the Texans are going to beat the Steelers.
No, I know, but there's a chance. Here's the best thing: if you're a player,
mm-hmm.
okay, when you get a bye, you get paid.
Oh, you get the week's worth of
yes.
bonus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get paid. Okay, and you don't play a game, and you advance to the next round without playing a game. That's the way you always think of it.
Exponentially, your chances of making the Super Bowl go way up, too.
Way, way up.
I mean, just percentage. Statistically speaking, I mean, one less game, one less win.
More health.
Yeah. But you can't worry about that. It's out of your, that's out of your control. I mean, all you can do is win your games, and and you just don't want to back in on something.
But that part of it is in your control, winning your game.
That's right.
And, that's what makes this game important above and beyond. Okay, well, okay, you find out for kickoff that the Titans lost. Hey, there's still more still to play. There's still more to play for.
Still 60 minutes, 120 minutes left in the regular season. Count the next
120 minutes left in seeding.
That's right. So, and as Doug said earlier, why would we prepare on Wednesday all day Thursday, Friday, game plan, do all this stuff to be like, forget it on Sunday? No, they're going to go out and try to play the football.
It's going to be a tough game, though. I really believe that. I think it's going to be a very tight game. I think it'll be a game decided in the fourth quarter. 49ers are a good football team. They're not good. They're above average with a very good quarterback.
Playing really well.
And who's playing at a high level. And you talk to people around that organization, what he has done, he's given all the organization hope and, like, confidence. So they all of a sudden believe, which is dangerous for a team, when you start believing you can win and you're good and that you have a guy who can lead you. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. They've won three in a row. They are a quality football team. And they have some talent now.
Jimmy Garoppolo is just, I mean, he's just ringing up the register. I mean, he's contracted.
Oh,
I mean, he is ringing up the register.
I told you in training camp, you weren't sold on him.
I wasn't sold on him, you know, and I mean, look, he played two games.
I get you. I get it. I just watched him.
Now we've got five games.
He's 5-0.
He hasn't lost.
5-0. And I said this to JP, you know, Tony. I went back and I watched all three games that Jimmy Garoppolo played. And then I said, you know what? You know, just for fun and giggles, to use the proper term. Okay, I'll go back and watch the game before he was inserted in the lineup where C.J. Beathard played against the Seahawks. And it looked like a totally different offense. Didn't even look like the same team. You know, all of a sudden, Marquise Goodwin looks like, you know, with Garoppolo, he looks like a game-breaking, super-fast wide receiver. You know, watching the fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, you're going, man, this guy's a legitimate threat out of the backfield. And then you watch the tight ends, George Kittle and Garrett Selleck. I mean, these guys are pretty good. Well, it's because Garoppolo's making them good. You know
what impresses me more than anything about him, Jeff, and as we're watching highlights, if you're online, is his ability to sit in the pocket and hang in there even when there's pressure and he's going to take a shot.
I had mentioned this to JP, and, you know, because that's something that we see when you watch film. So you want to try to actually give fans, give me some statistical information that proves that. And it's a fact, and that when he has a clean pocket, he averages, I think, like 8-point-something yards per attempt, clean pocket. When he's under pressure, he averages over 9 yards per attempt. You know,
he hangs in there to the last minute.
It proves that, first of all, that two things. One, he has the courage to hang in there. Number two, obviously, when you're under pressure, a lot of times you're getting blitzed, so there's bigger opportunities down the field. And he's going to stay in there. He's going to hang in there. And he's going to be able to identify who the open guys are. And I think that's the impressive thing, especially against the Titans game, because, you know, the Titans would blitz them. And if they had one little screw-up in coverage with their pressure packages, Jimmy found it. You know, so that's the impressive thing with him. And so I expect, you know, I don't expect the Jaguars to do any blitzing. I think they're going to bring four guys and play coverage, which is going to make it a little bit difficult for Jimmy, because Jimmy's going to be under duress without having – additional guys coming and less guys covering. So,
there's some matchups up front they can win too. Right, tackle.
Zane Beatles.
Start there.
Yeah. And
inside they're just okay too. They're not. I mean, you got
all right.
You know, Tomlinson, the former first rounder out of Duke, who went to Detroit, I believe.
Yeah, Detroit.
And didn't work out in Detroit. Ended up in San Francisco. He's okay. I mean, their best offensive lineman is Joe Staley, who's a very good player.
He's the left tackle.
He's left tackle. That would be a tough matchup for Ngakoue. I mean, when I say tough, a very good, two good players going at it.
Yeah, and Ngakoue this week has a little motivation if he didn't already
have
it.
Yeah, but I don't buy that.
He seemed upset in the locker room.
That doesn't make you better. If you're upset, it still doesn't make you a better player.
It doesn't. First of all, and he plays with a chip on his shoulder every play, every snap.
Every time.
He can't be any more angry than he already is.
He's already angry.
I mean, that's why we love him. That's who he is. I mean, he's
edgy.
He's not going to play any harder because he already plays hard.
as much edge as Jalen Ramsey has.
Ngakoue has more.
Ngakoue has more. Just as much. I don't say more, but just as much. I mean, you're talking about two very edgy players now.
Because I always say that's what I always love about that's why I never thought the locker room talk was a big deal, to me at least. Because if you play hard every snap and every game, who cares what they say? You can't play any harder than your hardest. If you're playing your best and you prepare your best and you focus your best, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. And in my opinion, that's Yannick Ngakoue. Mm-hmm. He's a pro. Watch how he prepares. Talk about how he practices. We saw at training camp. Ask the coaches how he practices. He watches film, and he plays every snap hard. So I feel bad that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. And I don't think he should be the third alternate, my goodness.
No, that should not be that.
Maybe first alternate? Okay, yeah. That's a possibility. No shame in that, but third alternate is embarrassing. And he's an outstanding player. And I look forward, but so is Joe Staley now. That's going to be a great matchup. Mm-hmm. Great matchup, two very good football players.
Yeah, the one that they need to take advantage of, mentioned tackle. Zane Beadles. Okay, Zane Beadles was here. He played left guard.
I'd bull rush him.
he actually started the first week of the season for the 49ers at left guard. Okay. And then I don't know if he got hurt or if he got benched, but they inserted Lakin Tomlinson. He was the starting guard since that point. And then the last two games.
Was it Anthony Davis, their right tackle, who got hurt?
Trent Brown. And so Trent Brown, the normal starting right tackle, is on injury reserve now. So Zane Beadles the last 2 weeks has been their starting right tackle. And Zane Beadles, should be – put it this way. Dante Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue should be fighting over who gets to line up as a left defensive end in sub-package situations.
I put Clays over there a little bit, too, because he's not going to be able to hold up against the power.
I mean, he's not a very good guard, okay? So let's take not a very good guard and put him at tackle.
You know the scary thing is, Jeff, he might be better at tackle, though. Because he can at least – because he is an athletic guy. So at least he gets in the way and it takes longer for them to get there than the straight pass that they had at guard.
I can just tell you this, Tony. If I'm a defensive end,
I know that, but
– My mouth is watering.
I know it's not good, but he was – I don't know.
He's not very good.
But they're a good football team.
He should be – I mean, okay, Dante wants 2.5 sacks for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
You want 2.5 sacks? Okay. What better matchup could you have, okay, on Christmas Eve than Zane Beadles?
Now, and we'll talk about defense, I assume, when we come back. I'm not here very often on Thursday, so I don't want to – usually I'm just listening to you guys.
Whatever you want to do. I mean, your name's on the wall, so whatever.
The fun thing is
– Whoa, JP. No, don't change what
he's
you
back.
Do
I can't,
just because
what,
he's here.
I'm used to it's Monday. I have to say something to him to
that's
get him going.
Point, yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah, but yeah. Defensively, it's the same defense. This will be – they know exactly what they're facing. It's Robert Saleh.
Yep.
I mean, it's the same foundation at least.
Not same players.
No, but same foundation that this defense was built on that – San Diego plays, not San, Los Angeles plays, and Seattle plays because they're all from the same birthplace.
It's going to take years for us to stop saying San Diego.
Oh, no. Yeah. I hope they move back before we do.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll get into that matchup. The Jags offensive line has been playing well lately. That's a big part of the offensive success for this team. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, most importantly is go win the game, right? Then you don't have to worry about anything. So, you know, I know that's where my focus will be and how we can beat the 49ers and make sure that we control what we can control and just take it in our own hands. I'm sure the score of the Titans game will be brought up. You know, they play before we do, so I'm sure everybody will know what's going on there. But regardless of whether they win or lose, if we clinch before the game or after the game, we want to go out there and put a good game together and we'll beat the 49ers.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shatter, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, Jags Niners coming up Sunday, Christmas Eve game at Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, California. Should be a fun one, week 16. A win and the Jags are in. A loss for the Titans against the Rams, and the Jags are the division champions as well. The Jaguars offensive line, the band is back together the last couple of weeks. There's been guys coming and going in and out, and guess what? Blake's had time. The run game is kind of there, even without Leonard Fournette there. They've gotten some things done in that the last week or so. So this group up front, guys, Tony especially, the starting group's back on the field. I think that makes a big difference.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. Look at the games they've played this year when all five guys have been on the field, and they played well. They run the ball well, and they protected well. Now, when they've had breakdowns is when one of the frontline guys is not in there and they don't play as well, I mean, which you would expect. We've been talking about it. I've been saying I think the three most important things of this football team of winning playoff games, winning this week, winning any week, making a run, is the defense being who they are. Blake playing at the level, you know, doesn't have to play at the 128 quarterback rating level, but a nice level, and then the offensive line being healthy. Those three things are the most important aspects of this football team.
They've been playing well. You know, the one thing I think that I highlighted this week in one of the film segments has been Omame. And it's interesting when you watch him because he's got a little quick twitch finish to him. You know what I mean? When I mean quick twitch, I mean he gets violent at times. Not violent like beating anybody up, but when he's going in the blocks, you know he's got this
he's
quick
a
twitch.
Guy.
He's a physical guy, you know, and he's been fun to watch. And that's the thing, you know. If you watched Patrick last year, you didn't see that, you know. And I thought he was pretty good last year, but you didn't see some of that, you know, that oomph that he's got right now.
Well, here's a question for you. Remember when Chris Reed came in to play left guard? You guys were saying at one point that he could just take the job,
look,
right?
JP, the first game that he played, which was against the Cleveland Browns, he had a fantastic game.
Okay.
The consistency didn't say at that level.
And yeah, and all of a sudden.
It just kind of went down a little bit.
Well, yeah, went down a little bit. You know, and I don't know why. I mean, was it injury because he was on the injury report? You know, I mean, guys get hurt. They can't be the same type player. But the big defensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns.
Danny Shelton.
Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody moves Danny Shelton. But holy cow, Chris Reed was able to get him moving. And I'm talking moving. So when you see a performance against a player like that, then you say, okay, Chris Reed's got an opportunity to keep his job, and I think he did. I think what that allowed, because he had that performance, they probably said to themselves, and I'm not saying that I know this or this is factual, but they probably said, you know what, why are we going to hurry Pat, you know, back into the lineup, you know, because we got a guy right now that's playing pretty good. Let's just make sure he's healthy. And then, you know, once he gets totally healthy – we'll see where Chris Reed is at, and if he's playing good, we'll probably keep him in there. If not, then we'll put Pat back in. You know, that gives – when you have backups that come in and play well, then it gives you – I don't want to say the luxury, but it gives you the ability to allow players to heal, you know, and where you're not trying to push them back in the lineup when you got other backups step in, play well, no problems, rolling along.
Sounds like Hernsey could be back this week. Wide receiver Leonard Fournette has been on the practice field. That's a good sign, right?
On Hernsey, from listening to Bortles' comments to seeing his practice status, which was, what, limited yesterday, mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get to the injury report today, but he practiced again today. I think he's going to be ready to go.
Would you start him?
That's a great question.
You know, well, I know it's a great question. I asked it. Would you start him? I'll answer for you. I would not.
Okay.
No.
No, I would start DD and I would start Cole.
Yeah, and see, I probably would start Hernsey. And the reason I say that is, you know, and I think Hernsey, this might be, and like, I don't know if this is the case or not, but, you know, just much like we talked about with, you know, Pat coming back and probably allowed him plenty of time to heal up, maybe it was the same type of thing with Hernsey. Maybe they're like, you know what, hey, look, we got these young guys and Marquise. They're doing pretty good.
Let's give them another week.
Let's just let them ride, sure. You know, and let Hernsey heal. Now that Marquise is out, you know, the one thing I think is you would like to always have for your quarterback is one veteran guy that
– well, he's active.
That for two things. One, he's dependable, and nobody's more dependable than Hernsey.
Yeah.
And what Hernsey does, I think, being on the field, he helps the young receivers also in what they're doing. Because Hernsey's a good enough player and a smart enough player and an experienced enough player, he can get himself lined up, take care of his own responsibility, and help others.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree with all that. But what stood out last week on the field when you had Westbrook, Cole, and Mickens all out there at the same time?
Well,
like, there's one thing that stood out to me.
Speed. Yeah, speed.
Separation.
I mean, the speed was noticeable, and I said this on the Monday Night Show. Andre Ware came. Jeff, you remember Andre Ware, old Jaguar, 1995, was here for camp for a very short time, but was here, Heisman Trophy winner, but he does the Texans broadcast. And he came out at halftime, and he said, "My goodness, where did you find all those fast guys?" Because they couldn't keep up. And I would play Hearns, obviously, but my and he'd probably be my third receiver instead of Mickens in third down situation. But I think I would start Westbrook and Cole just because of the speed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to argue with that, you know, because they have been productive. And, you know, if you had to take one, I mean, look, they're going to play enough three wide receiver sets. They're all going to
play.
You know, and when we say three wide receiver sets, kind of the odd man out, I would expect, is Jadon Mickens, even though I am the president of the Jadon Mickens fan club.
Founder, too.
And a
founder and president.
Founder, president, and platinum card-carrying member.
Yes. Tony's like the vice president now.
I've worked my way up.
No, his membership has been substantially increased, but he is not the vice president.
He's still going to earn that.
No, right? Joe Fortunato is the vice president.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Here's an odd scenario, right? So, and Doug, listening to earlier, he's probably not going to think this way, but I am. Why not? If the Titans are losing, do you even play Hearns? You give him another week just to make sure he's right.
No, he's ready, he's ready.
He's ready, he's ready.
No, it doesn't even come into the...
That's right.
Yeah, just like...
And I know we'll talk about this next week, and I play everyone next week, by the way, no matter what.
Yep.
Because you got to go after that seeding.
Yep.
Got to do it.
Well, got to go after the seeding.
Not even the seeding, you have a young football team.
Young team, you want to go into the playoffs hot.
Yep.
Let's keep the ball rolling. Hey, we're going to come back and continue the hot streak of the picks in the National Football League. Somebody's hot.
Me?
No.
Not so much.
That'd be me.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Picks when we return. We'll go around the National Football League a little later. With a half hour to go. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Blessing. It just shows all the hard work paid off, you know, even when people always doubted me. I know I always knew what I was capable of, and I'm glad that Jacksonville took a chance on me, and I'm just going to continue to do what I can. I told Jalen today our ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. When we chase that goal, everything else will take care of itself. So it's a blessing. There's a lot of people that should have been in there, not only on our team, but just in general, like in the NFL, that I feel probably got overlooked. So just to even be mentioned with all the other guys that's in there, like I said, it's a blessing, and I'm not going to take it for granted.
A.J. Boye named to the Pro Bowl. Jaguars cornerback. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli. Pro Bowl's nice, yes. Nice honor if you guys missed out on it, but the all-pro team's where it's at. I mean, that's the one. That,
no, J.P.
The Super Bowl's where it's
yes,
at.
Yes, thank
it.
You.
But in terms of individual honors, and we've talked about it on shows on Jaguars.com throughout the week, the all-pro team is the one that a lot of people will remember down the line. Could the Jags have two all-pros this year on the defense?
Maybe. I mean, Clay is going to be an all-pro guy.
One of the corners?
Probably both of them.
Both of the corners could be?
No. Of the whole NFL, they see one team, so you got a bunch of corners in there. You have Xavier Rhodes, you have Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Jalen, you got...
Maybe.
Yeah, I would say probably one of them.
Which one?
One will be first team, one will be
You got six team. Interceptions with AJ.
Yeah, AJ will probably be first team, Jalen will be second team, just because the interceptions are looked at. I mean, you got to remember, a lot of these things are not very, they are subjective. Got a bunch of writers. And nothing against writers. They do a good job. A
bunch of Pete Prisco's.
No, but I mean, so at the end of the day, you watch a lot of tape, but they're not experts. They watch it, and they look at statistics, and that all comes into play.
Well, and
for the most part, they do a very good job. They do. But, I mean, so if you're looking at AJ and Jalen, and you didn't study every tape and understand that Jalen's chasing the number one receiver every week and all the different things, and you just looked at what's the one thing that's going to stand out if they're close in your mind is the interceptions. Mm-hmm. And so that's where – I would price it. Now, if I was picking it just based on what they're asked to do and how they put it, I'd probably put Jalen the first team. And if I had to put one, I mean, if I was voting, I'd put both of them on first team. But I mean, you have guys like Patrick Peterson had a very good year. Xavier Rhodes had an outstanding year, the corner from Minnesota.
Good
player. Really good year.
Physical player, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, Listen, if you're second team All-Pro, it's not bad.
No. No, but I think Calais will be a lock.
Yeah, I think Calais is the one guy that will be on there.
You know, I think Malik would have a hard time, you know, but he's going to be in the conversation, and the two corners will be in the conversation for sure.
I think you'll see some guys on the second team, All-Pro team as well.
That's what happens when you're a good football team. Accolades come in. Haven't seen
that. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but playing for a Super Bowl.
Let me say this. I'll say so. I was fortunate enough to have a lot of those accolades in all pro teams and Super Bowl, Pro Bowls and everything else. I'll tell you right now, what I think about is missing the Super Bowl twice. Well, four times if you think of the four times you're in the playoffs. That's what you think about.
Yep.
That's what drives you crazy.
What could we have done in the game differently?
No,
you think about it.
It drives you crazy. There'll be moments where I'll be driving or something else, and I don't think, well, wow, I made Pro Bowls and All Pro. I think about, my goodness, we missed an opportunity to play in the game we all want to play in.
Yep.
Because that changes everything for you as a player. And so I'm with Jeff. That trumps everything.
Everything. It's not even close.
100% agree with Jeff. Now, you know, it's nice, individual awards and all that stuff. And yeah, and I think Clay said it best. I heard him make a comment this week. You think about those things after the season. And they're nice. I mean, you're lying if you don't think it's nice.
Yeah, but the other thing.
It's not what keeps you up at night.
No, because I can tell you one thing. You know, you may think about that in the offseason, but if you don't win the Super Bowl, you'll think more about that than you would any other accolade. It's secondary.
Well, y'all going to have a lot of sleepless nights coming up about these picks. The picks are in from last week and the results from last week.
I think
week.
I'm in first place.
I don't think so.
But this past week I was.
Yes,
JP, you will not be in first place for long.
Okay. I mean, a lot of sleepless nights ahead for you guys thinking about what could have been in the picks here. The results last week, I was 11-5. Vaselli, 13-3. Logs, 11-5. So for the season, it's tight up top. I'm 131-77. Vaselli, 130-78. Logs, 124-84. He might be done.
I'm not done because he's got the playoffs. And here's the thing, JP. You're trending down. I mean, you had a substantial lead.
I was 11-5.
You had a substantial lead.
At one point, you had an 8-game lead over me. Cut it down.
Well, that's before y'all changed the rules that the first place guy had to go first.
I'm first place, see, here's the difference.
What does that have to do with it?
I was doing just fine.
You realize
riding our coattails.
We guys changed the rule to manipulate the standings.
We don't. Just so you understand, I don't care what you pick. I already know what teams I'm going to pick, so I can go first, second, third. It doesn't matter. You, on the other hand, are a cheater, don't know much.
Oh, really?
Yep. You're a coat.
Didn't
rider.
I win last year? Who won last year?
I did.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
You didn't. You lost in the Super Bowl.
No, I won by a bunch, and then you made the rules that the Super Bowl is worth 50 points. And I picked the Falcons, which, by the way, they should have won.
Yeah, it didn't work out, did it? Okay, let's get to the picks this week. Then we start off. Two games on Saturday, the Colts and the Ravens get us going, and I'm going with Baltimore. They need to win.
Baltimore
all the way across. Also Saturday, Vikings at the Packers. The pack is done, so the Vikings win.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah,
Minnesota.
Vikings. Brett Hundley, right?
Following my coattails, are you, on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
So on to Sunday, Christmas Eve, Buccaneers, Panthers. Yeah,
Panthers.
Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night was a much closer game than I thought, though. I give Tampa credit.
Yeah,
if Jameis Winston would have played like that all year,
they'd have a chance.
They'd have 9-10 wins. I mean, he was on fire.
Well, he's been hurt some, right?
Yeah, shoulder, and they're just out of sorts. Their defense is the worst. I mean, they're bad. Worst third down defense.
They're not
worst
good.
Pass defense. 31st overall. I mean, they're bad. Worst in sacks. I mean, just about every category that
good
matters.
Good coach and a bad defense.
Is Dirk Cutter out?
Yeah, I think so. I think they blow the whole thing up. I think the GM and the coach are gone.
Starting from scratch. Got a quarterback, though.
They might bring Gruden back.
That was the whole rumor. In the stadium, that was the rumor. That's all anyone talked about, that Gruden was going to be the
Has that ever happened? You know, a coach gets in the Ring of Honor.
And then comes back.
And then he's coaching. Has any current coach had his name up?
I don't know.
First of all,
that's a great question.
If there hasn't been, Bill Belichick should be the first. I mean, his name should be up. You know,
remember though, he's in charge of everything at the Patriots.
Right. He wouldn't allow it.
He's not going to allow it to go up there.
Well, he's Mr. Kraft might have something to say about that. But
some days I think Bill's probably is on equal footing with Kraft, only because Robert Kraft lets him be, because he says if you're going to win Super Bowls, you can do whatever you want.
What a game on Sunday here. The Browns and the Bears in Chicago.
Come on.
Yeah, Browns are going to do it. This is the week.
God, I was hoping you'd go the other way, so I was going to go Browns.
See?
I'm taking the Bears.
I'll go Bears, even though I think the Browns might win.
No,
they might. They might.
No way.
Lions, Bengals in Cincinnati. I'll go with the Lions. They need it.
This is I'm not so sure about this one now. I'm taking the Bengals then.
Okay.
And you know what? If they stink it up again like they did this past week, I'm gonna be PO'd.
Oh really?
Yeah. You'll be PO'd then.
Well, get ready.
Coach is done.
They might be.
Dolphins Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Ooh.
Kansas City for me.
Kansas City. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Better hurry.
I'll go to Kansas City.
Yeah, of course you will. Here's a big game. Bills at the Patriots. The Jags need the Bills. I'm going for it. Buffalo.
Yeah, I'd like the Bills to win, but they're not going to. It's December. It's Foxborough. Yep. It's Tom Brady. They don't lose.
Patriots.
I'm with you on that. But
no, you're not.
I'm going Buffalo.
You're taking the Bills, right?
I'm going Buffalo.
Good,
why
good,
not?
Good.
Holding out hope.
Good.
Big game in the NFC South. Falcons at 9-5 at the Saints in the Superdome, 10-4. New Orleans at home.
I'm taking Saints.
Well, I think the Saints are going to win. Kamara's back. He's healthy. They got beat last time. But the Falcons, I'm going to go to Atlanta. I'm going to take Atlanta.
On the road.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm going to go on the road, Atlanta. I think I'm wrong.
Good game a few weeks ago between those two.
Very good game.
Chargers, Jets, New York. L.A. Chargers.
Who's
on the
playing
road.
Quarterback for the Jets?
Bryce Petty.
Exactly. Mm. Chargers.
Yeah, and the Chargers have to have it to maintain any hope at all. Outside chance, but they got to win.
Rams at the Titans, a 1 o'clock kickoff. And, of course, if the Titans lose, the Jags are division champs. So Rams are going to win that game on the road.
Well, I can see the Titans pulling one
I'm taking the Titans.
Yeah.
They need it. It's desperation time for them.
I got the Rams.
Okay, you're changing it up. L.A. Rams. Broncos, Redskins in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins.
Yeah, me too.
This Washington. Is really bad radio.
Redskins. Yeah.
Giants, Cardinals.
Giants stink, Cardinals.
Yeah, Arizona all
the
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seahawks, Cowboys.
Ew. Go ahead, JP, you're first.
Seattle's going to get one at the end.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Cowboys are going to win. Ezekiel Elliott's back. He's going to have like 50 carries. He's going to rush for 300 yards.
Yep.
Okay.
And the Seahawks have
record.
Nailed it in.
The Seahawks have melted.
Right. You know what? I got to change
that. No, you can't change.
You said it.
You said it.
Damn. Cannot change it.
Damn it, man. Steelers, Texans. Steelers all day.
Yeah, Steelers. Jeff's got the Texans.
No, I don't.
What happened?
What happened here?
No. I'm hoping. I'm pulling for the Texans. Come on.
Who's all pulling for them?
TJ Yates. Come on,
let's
TJ.
Go Yates.
There's not a chance. Not a chance.
Raiders, Eagles, Christmas night.
Mm.
Eagles at home, even with Foles for me.
You know, God, the Raiders are just
done.
They're terrible. Eagles.
They're done. It's over.
Okay. And the Jags and the Niners. I'm going Jags.
You sure, JP?
Yes. The only time I didn't pick them was week one because nobody knew.
No, you picked the Steelers as well. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Okay. They hadn't proven it then either. So that's twice. They finally did. That's twice. Okay, twice. But no more.
All right, so wait a minute.
You were
talking about earlier about the Jaguars' inability to travel to the West Coast. So they haven't proven it there either, JP. So
well, they will.
So take the 49ers.
No. Once bitten, twice shy. I'm picking them from now on.
He said he was
twice bitten, three times shy.
He was told if he picked against the Jags one more time, he should be looking for a new job. He'll be back over at the Jumbo Shrimp.
Oh, God. Those Jags all the way.
Jags.
We'll come back with a look around the league. Some final thoughts about the Jags and the 49ers. Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way on a fully guided behind-the-scenes private tour. See for yourself why the Travel Channel included Everbank Field on its list of bucket list destinations for football fans. Visit jaguars.com/Everbank Field for more information. Final moments of Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
getting, as Telvin said, shirts and hats, man. If that don't motivate a lot of guys in here, you know, then I don't know what will. A lot of guys haven't been in a situation, myself included. So, you know, this is foreign territory, man, to actually be playing for something beyond January. So, you know, with the distractions, Christmas and whatnot, man, I think that this is shows the character of teams right here and how you respond in situations like this. Obviously, we would like to get the West Coast, these type of West Coast trips out the way earlier, but you know what, at the end of the day, you know, we all about winning football games, and, you know, why not clinch everything that we set out to do in the beginning of the season come Sunday, man, let's get this thing over with.
Hats and shirts, AFC South Division title on the line this Sunday as the Jags face the 49ers. A win gets it done, or a Titans loss gets it done. The Jags want to go win the game, of course. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. We'll have our final thoughts on this game coming up shortly, but let's go a few notes around the National Football League and start off with the Seattle Seahawks, who've mailed it in this year, but they're going to mail in a check for $100,000 to the league for a violation of concussion protocol with Russell Wilson's situation November 9th. Also, Seattle's coaching and medical staffs must attend remedial medical training for concussion protocol for mishandling that diagnosis.
I think that's a CYA by the league, because I was at that game when it happened. First of all, Russell Wilson was fine. He got hit in the jaw, and his jaw was hurting him. The officials made him go off the field. He didn't want to. He was fine. I mean, there was no sign of him, anything wrong with him. Walked to the sideline, looked at the doctor, and was like, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. And they sent him back in after one play. I think, but it was on national television.
Yeah, he moved the tent out of the way.
It was talked about on Thursday Night Football. It was hyped up by the media, and so the league had to do something to say the protocol wasn't followed. The guy didn't have a concussion. He was fine.
It just didn't look good, though. I mean, if the official sends a guy off, you know, for concern of a concussion.
You're hitting the jaw.
I mean, still. Shot. I mean, if the official goes, sends a guy to the sideline.
But if he's fine, we saw.
But here's the thing.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Didn't Miles Jack get sent to the sideline on Sunday because of a concussion concern? And he walked out, and then he went right back in? Didn't that happen?
I didn't see it.
Remember we were talking in the fourth quarter, Miles Jack was the third
quarter. Oh, yeah, he got sent off
that. By the official.
I don't know when he came back. We were in here.
And he came back the next play. In fact, he didn't miss a play because they called timeout.
But it's not—he's not Russell Wilson.
That's my whole point. CYA.
But I get it. But I mean, it's look if
what does CYA stand for, Tony?
Cover your backside.
Okay.
But if you're gonna make sure that in the future, because I mean, what happened obviously with Tom Savage?
Now that was atrocious. Okay.
If they get $100,000 in Seattle, what's gonna happen?
A million.
It's not gonna be good. But here's the thing. Like, well, if an official does that, then a certain protocol's got to be followed.
But, Jeff, if the guy's fine.
I get that part of it. But, you know, the problem is that, okay, you know, Tom Savage, you know, and I know it's a different scenario, but if you had a situation like that where an official sends Tom Savage off to get checked and Tom Savage had the same reaction as Russell Wilson, then that's not the right thing to have happened.
Well, you know? So
My point is that
I know you're saying
pushing for, you know, things to be followed, so safety is the utmost importance. There's nothing wrong with that. And to make an example out of a high profile incident, that's probably why the league is doing it, because it's high profile, and yes, it's cover your rear end. But it's good. I think in the long run it's good.
Yeah, I mean I don't know if it's good or bad. Number one, the officials, I don't think they should change the procedure. The official should walk over with the player to the and say why he's removing him. Like Tom Savage was having a convulsion on the field. I mean, honestly,
yeah, it was not good.
And no one knew, and that was not communicated to anyone on the bench. Bill O'Brien didn't know. No one knew. He just walked off the field, and I said it on Monday night. If he passed the test, then he should be able to go back in the game. And Pete said, no, if you saw what happened on the field. I said, wait a second. Is there a concussion test in place for a purpose? Are we going to follow the protocol? Because he passed the test by the independent neurologist. Now, if that's not
good enough, then
the official has to walk him over and say what happened.
Right.
That he was having a convulsion on the field, and he cannot come back in and play no matter what happens because there's something serious wrong with him. Outside of Russell Wilson got hit in the jaw with a helmet, was up standing there flexing his jaw and the official saw it and set him off. It's two different things. And so the protocol needs to be, if that's the part, if the officials have that type of leeway, walk them over and explain what happened.
It's never going to be perfect.
No.
But but at least to try to get it better, anything to make it better is good.
So.
How about the coaches having to go to remedial training,
medical
training?
That's the CYA part. Come on.
What does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means.
Pete Carroll in front of a PowerPoint.
No, you know what happens? Because in high school football, we have to do it every year. And it's fine. It's good. But every year is a little bit much. Because I pass the test before you ever take it. It doesn't matter if you pass it before you ever take it. You have to sit through a hour or 45-minute class of how to recognize concussion, what you're supposed to do, and all that. Very good. But I'll be honest with you, especially I'm not coaching next year, so they can't get mad at me.
What? You're not coaching next year?
No, I'm retiring.
Are you breaking the news today?
Breaking news.
I did not know that.
I already announced it.
Breaking news. Tony Boselli is retired from coaching.
Thank you very much. I already announced it to Brunell. But I don't watch one second of it.
Brunell's throwing a party, by the way. Yeah,
he'll tell you he fired me. He'll tell you he fired me.
He probably did.
But I don't watch. I just put it on play on my computer and do a bunch of other stuff. And then when it's over, I take the test. But I get 100% of the test because it's all stuff we already know. So that's what they're going to do. The coaches will sit there or they'll send one of their assistants in there to sit there and mark present. I mean, because we all know the signs of a concussion. I mean, if you play the game long enough, you're around it, you know what to look for and what the dangers are.
Apparently, the league doesn't think the Seahawks do because of the fine and the class.
If you go back, I was there for that situation. It was ridiculous. Now, the Tom Savage thing, Jeff's right. I mean, that was handled. How they let that go, that's dangerous.
Not good.
NFL head of officiating has confirmed that he told officials that using a piece of paper is not proper protocol for measuring a first down.
How else are they supposed to do it?
Gene Steratore did it in the Oakland game last week.
Well, I thought it was fine.
You got to eyeball it, right? Well, it wasn't a flat piece of paper. It was like a folded card, first of all. It wasn't.
Well, it was so close. How else are you supposed to do it?
I don't get it. I mean, there's a protocol that must be.
The protocol is if the ball touches the thing, it's a first down. If it doesn't, it's not. That's the protocol.
That's the dumbest thing that has ever been said.
Right?
It doesn't matter. Look. Here's the important thing. The proper protocol should be to get it right.
I think he got it right.
And he got it right. What's wrong with that? Tell Al Rivera to stay in his little, bat cave, where he's reviewing things, and just shut up about that. It's dumb.
I thought it was funny.
It was nothing. What was wrong with that?
I don't think I'd ever seen it.
You know what was dumber?
What's that?
Was Del Rio's reaction to saying that he didn't like the smirk.
When he went first down, right?
Yeah. No, it wasn't before that.
He was smiling. It was great.
He just gave a half smirk after he measured the ball.
Well, it was so tight. It was hard.
And Del Rio's upset about a smirk. Well, what does the smirk mean? Well, what was he thinking when he had the smirk? Maybe he had gastrointestinal problems, and it wasn't really a smirk.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was, too. And then Del Rio makes a comment, I didn't appreciate smirk. Yeah, well, Jack, guess what? I don't think a lot of people appreciate the Raiders' record right now of 6-8 when they were picked to be one of the favorites in the AFC. I mean, come on.
I bet you Bill Musgrave does.
Oh, I bet you he's happy about that. Stick to coaching. Let the officials do the smirking and the officiating. Just my opinion.
We can keep going with this if you want, Log. You're on a roll right now.
No, the whole chain of events just kind of got me going. I was just like, are you kidding me?
I enjoyed it.
It's unbelievable.
Whole thing. I like the card. I like the whole thing.
Now, if you wanted to debate, I mean, the catch or non-catch in the New England-Pittsburgh game, I mean, that's
by rule, it wasn't a catch.
I know it's not, but
following the rule.
I thought that, here's the thing that I thought, that you're on your knees, you reach, and you make a football move, and you stick the ball as soon as it crosses the plane of the goal line.
Complete the catch.
That's it.
You got to complete it through the ground.
It's frustrating. That would have helped the Jags.
Oh, I was throwing stuff.
Oh, we were yelling in the office.
The embarrassing part, though, that whole thing, is the ensuing plays. First of all, it was embarrassing of Gronkowski before by Pittsburgh that they're letting Gronkowski run wild. And then that play happens. You're like, God,
so you don't think it's smart to have Sean Davis man one-on-one with Gronkowski outside?
One-on-one, yeah. That's really smart. That's good football.
I mean, who else would have gone? I mean, they lined up and Mike Gronk's and catch a touchdown. If I know it. Then they should know it. They should have put someone else over there. Like, you basically put two people over there.
What
was
worse?
Anyone but him is going to score.
What was worse? Okay. Pittsburgh's approach to Gronkowski, or was it Pittsburgh's plays after the replay review that overturned?
Well, I think the slant into quadruple coverage is a great play call. And I mean, there's only four Patriots sitting around.
Here's the thing. Yeah, right. Smith. What the hell were you doing the whole time the replay review was going on?
Yeah.
Didn't you talk about a play? I mean, really?
Poor.
Here's the thing. We're talking about Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, veteran player, Todd Haley, right?
At least you kick a field goal there.
Okay.
Right? Worst case.
Go to San Francisco last week, Titans game. And what is Jimmy Garoppolo doing prior to the last drive? He's going over everything. He's talking to the kicker. Where do we need to get you? Talking to the coaches. Talking to his receivers. Talking to his offensive line. Well, here's an idea. Here's what we're going to run. Okay. Where does that come from?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Darn right.
Yep.
Coaching. So, not a very good job by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and even though I thought that should be a catch, and according to the old rules, that would be a catch.
But in fairness,
all the other screw-ups they had, they deserve to lose.
But, Jeff, by the letter of the law today, that was not a catch.
No, I know.
In the rule
book. I know.
Now, I agree with you. I don't like the rule, but that's the rule.
But that whole sequence by Pittsburgh?
Not good.
It's the Patriots. How they? I mean, they win a Super Bowl that way. They shouldn't have won. They win that game. I mean, how does this happen?
That was not good.
How do you not cover Gronk with five guys?
I don't know. I don't know.
There you have it. Our look around the National Football League. Final thoughts now. Jags 49ers coming up Sunday, Christmas Eve. Long trip, holiday weekend, Week 16. Division on the line. Got to go win the football game.
Great opportunity. This is what if you would have said in August when you're out there sweating and playing and fighting for jobs and positions and trying to, you know, prepare for a season, if you would have said, we're going to go to San Francisco in week 16, and if we win the division, you'd take that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why they work. This is why coaches spend 100 hours a week in the offices, and this is why players sacrifice their bodies, all the things. It's why, you know, this is what you do it for. And so it's an opportunity. I hope they go capture it. I believe they will. I think it's going to be a very tough game because I think it's a very confident football team. And anytime you're playing a confident football team, you're going to be in for a dogfight. I think they win because they're better. I think defense will come up and make plays. And I think Blake Bortles, by the way, has another great game. I think he'll be over 100 quarterback rating again. And I think he'll continue this streak of top-level football that he's playing.
That is the weakness of the 49ers, I think. Team is the secondary.
Good front seven.
A good front seven, but the secondary of the 49ers is a major weakness. In fact, I know their pass rankings aren't terrible, but there are other rankings out there that have studied the 49ers defense, and they consider them the worst pass defense that there is in the National Football League.
But, Jeff, the last six games they've been playing better defense.
They've been playing better, but their coverage is not very good. You know, because, I mean, if you play – the style that the Jaguars play, which is the style that the Chargers play, which is the style that the 49ers play, you have to have corners that can cover. Now, I'm not saying you got to have A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey, but you got to have good corners. Chargers have a couple pretty good corners.
Casey Hayward's a stud.
Okay, good player. Okay, the Jaguars obviously got two of them. The 49ers, they don't have any corners, okay, that are very good. So that's a problem, and that should be an area that, even though the Jaguars, you know, don't have Marquise Lee and they're getting Allen Hurns back and they're young at the wide receiver position, that should be an area that they should have some really production at, is at that battling the corners of the 49ers.
I asked Logs this earlier. Tony, what's with the West Coast problem for this franchise?
I don't know. When we were really good, we didn't have very many games out there.
Okay.
We didn't.
Yeah.
We had 96, we played the Raiders, we lost. 97, we played the Raiders, we beat them. And then late in the 2000s, 2001, when we were just an okay football team, we lost to the Seahawks. We never had many opportunities on the West Coast.
It's a big one this week. Win, and they get the division.
Don't be scoreboard watching, JP.
Oh, I'm going to watch the scoreboard all pregame.
Okay, are you going to give less effort because the Titans, okay, lose?
Jeff Lagerman.
Jeff, his effort's never very good.
Tony Baselli. Go back on the road, will you? Joe Fortunato, Hollywood Max Hockman, our entire crew. I'm JP Shadrick. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.